You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard here on a Friday, the 13th edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. If you suffer from, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, whatever that fear of Friday the 13th is, we are with you here today to try to take you through the 3 o'clock hour without thinking too much about that. We got a lot to get to. We'll look back at Iowa State, the men's game from last night. A lot of interesting things at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We will touch upon those coming up. We will have the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you as well. And we'll give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids as the panel will get together, pick two college games and four pro games coming up this week. 319-366-1600 is the busy text line, I would imagine. 319-366-1600. That's a phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. And we do appreciate you tuning in each and every day. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac, all with you here today. Before we get too far into it, everybody be safe throughout the late night tonight and into tomorrow. There is an ice storm warning that is in effect for the KGYM listening area. Starts at midnight tonight and goes through 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Expecting we could see anywhere between, they estimate, 2/10 and 3/10 of an inch of ice and very, very strong winds. And we've been through this before. If it indeed becomes this very, very treacherous, just don't go anywhere tomorrow. I mean, that's the best advice we can give you out there. Whatever you need to do can probably wait. It will get warmer into the afternoon, and the ice is expected to melt away at that particular point. So keep a weather eye out throughout the overnight and into the wee hours of the morning. I don't know what it's going to do for wrestling tournaments tomorrow. Best of luck to those folks. They are going to probably err on the side of caution. Isaac, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I do. This was a special request by Todd this morning. I brought him a story on someone that was dubbed the Tiger Woods of Scrabble. And he knows how much you guys love Tiger Woods. So that is... His name is Nigel Richards. He won the Spanish championships despite the inability to speak Spanish. And so he was dubbed the Tiger Woods of Scrabble. He did the same thing for the French World Championships. He won the Scrabble World Championship in French without being able to speak French. He just memorized the dictionary of the Scrabble dictionary in French and Spanish.
Wow.
That one was just, that was specifically for you guys.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate that. 319-366-1600. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Is that better than the Sergio Garcia of Scrabble? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there. And I do know a lot of events have been either postponed, canceled, or delayed for tomorrow, depending on where you're at. Just consult your school or whatever. And, figure it out.
Yeah. Don't let your better judgment take over. Let your better judgment take over. That's a very, very good way to put it. 319-366-1600. And yes, Greg and Epworth says, good job following your assignment today, Isaac. You did well.
I always put on my resume, follows directions well. So glad I'm living up to that.
Basketball from last night. A very, very entertaining game at Carver Hawkeye Arena. It ended up, Mark, kind of the way you, me, others anticipated with Iowa State. It wasn't a double-digit win, but it was very close, 89-80, as the third-rated Cyclones win their first true road game of the year. They go to 8-1 on the campaign. How it got to 89-80, though, was completely different than I thought it was going to be. Iowa shot it extremely well in the first half, hit three-pointers, knew they needed to get double digits in three-point makes. They did, but so did Iowa State. Both teams were 11 of 28 from beyond the arc in the ball game. Iowa did most of their damage early. Iowa State did most of their damage late in the ball game. And if you're a Hawkeye fan, I think you are somewhat happy, I guess, with a loss, even though you did lose the game. 32 minutes of that game, Iowa played, I thought, their best basketball of the season against a very, very, very good opponent. And if you're Iowa State, you won on a foreign court. You did all the things you had to do. You wore down the opposition with depth and took over the game in crunch time when it needed to be taken over when you're the number three team in the country. Iowa kept up with Iowa State rebounding in the first half, Mark, but then that ugly, ugly Achilles heel for the Hawkeyes reared its ugly head, and Iowa couldn't get a rebound. They couldn't stop Iowa State inside late, and the physicality, much like Kevin Lehman, the coach, if you missed that yesterday, our talk with Kevin Lehman on Off the Glass, go back and listen to the podcast at KGYMradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. That was spot on as well. In the end, the physicality and the talent of Iowa State won out.
It was a far better game than I anticipated, and I think both sides can be encouraged. What was a deceiving final score? I think on the Iowa side, Iowa played hard, and as it did against Michigan after getting down. In this game, Iowa was up for most of the game. Iowa State didn't lead until 3 minutes remained in the game. And it just kind of ran out of gas, I think. Fran McCaffrey shortened his bench, and I think that caught up. The rebounding, certainly. Iowa rebounded by 12. Iowa State had 18 offensive boards. In the end, it was that six-minute drought at the absolute worst time for Iowa. You knew it wasn't going to hit everything from three like it did in the first half, and it didn't. In the end, you know, it was Curtis Jones was a dagger for Iowa State. The guy made everything, five threes, 23 points off the bench. You know, he's virtually a starter. He was a big difference in that game, and Iowa did a good job on Keyshawn Gilbert. If you'd have told me he was going to score only 11 points and have six turnovers, that would bode well for Iowa. And by and large, it did for 35 minutes. On the Iowa State side of things, you can be encouraged, I think, by getting down 10 double digits in the game at least once, coming back, answering Iowa runs back and forth, and ultimately prevailing with that defense and rebounding.
Couple of being there last night, good crowd, best crowd of the year. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. And a lot of that, I think, had to do with Iowa State. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit here as well. For the 11 NBA scouts that were there last night, Josh Jefferson is a dude. Double-double, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 6'9", 240, can move, can pass the ball, can play defense. Just amazing. 31 points Iowa State got in the interior, along with DeSean Jackson, who ended up with 12 points and 4 rebounds. And then Iowa State can go big. Iowa went small to start that game. Iowa State made an adjustment. T.J. Otzelberger, who kept putting in 2 and 3 at a time, knowing full well I think he was going to wear Iowa down. He did wear Iowa down at the end. The Hawks just had no legs at the end. I think that some of that was due to the fact that Iowa only played 6 in the second half. And Fran McCaffrey mentioned on his radio interview after the game, yeah, I should have played some guys more. Price Sanford did not get into the game in the second half. Dembele was good in the first half, did not get a lot of minutes in the second half, went with six, basically. And I think Iowa just ran out of steam, and Iowa State had a lot to do with that. Just keep putting in two, putting in three, taking out, you know, it's just the way it goes. The observation I had and what was really telling, two things last night, Mark. Number one, with Iowa State, I've been seeing Big Ten teams, non-conference teams, Big East teams, whoever, coming to Carver-Hawkeye Arena over the years. I don't think I've ever seen a physically imposing team like Iowa State from 1 through 8 last night. Those were dudes, and they were so much bigger than the Iowa players and can move and can play defense. And like Kevin Lehman said, get physical with you. They were physical, and they had some fouls called, and that's fine with T.J. Otzelberger. Nate Heisey comes off the bench. He's going to play hard, and he did play hard. Curtis Jones is going to come in. He's going to be the guy that's going to be on the outside sinking threes and then talking smack with the first row. Chatfield coming in, he can bang around a little bit. Physically imposing team. And I don't throw these words out too often, Mark, but that's a Final Four team. That is a Final Four worthy Iowa State basketball team. There is no weakness on that team. They shoot free throws very well. They can go inside. They've got shooters. Jones coming off the bench can light it up. It wasn't a great night for Keyshawn Gilbert. Sometimes he takes some ill-advised shots. He had a windmill one at the end last night. I don't know how that went in, but it was amazing. And then you've got the ringleader. You got Taman Lipsey. And he hit, after not making a whole lot throughout the season and the first half, hit three big three-pointers in the second half down the stretch to get when Iowa State needed him. All he does is just get assists, bug you on defense, and just knows where to go on the basketball court. In the passing lanes, makes saves. He drives the bus. And that's a Final Four worthy team.
Is there anything you didn't touch on?
I think I got it.
No, I think so too. And many texts coming in, one of them 9663. Agrees with you. I think the Iowa State team was all in weights all year long. They looked huge. They could win it all this year, I think. Kind of echoing your comments, Scott. Nebraska, Jason, what seems to kill Iowa year after year are the long scoring droughts. Why is that? And 0983, yes, Fran shortened his bench, and that's what did them in.
And he, like I said, he mentioned that after the ball game that probably should have played people more. Laje Dembele, Price Sanford did not get into the second half. Thelwell played really, really well. Brock Harding played really, really well in the game. Iowa's front line just could not stay with Iowa State's. And I feel bad for Owen Freeman a little bit due to the fact that Fran called him out again for 5 rebounds. Listen, he was trying to pick up two guys and rebound the ball at the same time. And Owen Freeman, bless his heart, is probably about 6'8". He was 2 inches shorter than Josh Jefferson and Jackson, at least in the middle, and probably giving up at least 30 pounds to both. You can't do it all, man. And Iowa just does not have – they just don't have that dudes inside right now. It's a different type of team for Fran McCaffrey. Iowa is going to match up well against some teams. This is just a really bad matchup, and it's going to be for a lot of teams in the Big 12.
And as Cyclone Tim said, I thought Iowa played admirably. Could have won if they had someone to finish in the clutch. And that's very true, and kind of gets to my point of a six-minute drought, pretty much, that Iowa had in the absolute worst time at the end of the game. But you look at the box score and the stats are even almost across the board, except for rebounding. That stood out, and the attendance figure stood out.
Yeah.
And you were there, Scott. I watched on TV, listened to it. You were an eyewitness. We asked Kevin Lehman what he thought the atmosphere would be like last night. What was it like?
It was a good atmosphere. And I think you could also you can also thank a lot of people wearing red last night for that. What was it? Just over 13,000 last night was the attendance. Is that right, Isaac?
Yeah, it was like 13 and then some 30.
And you were there as well.
Yes, I was.
You were there as well. For me, I thought it was probably a fifth, I'd say 20 to 23% Iowa State folks last night.
There's
would you agree?
3,000 to 4,000 maybe, somewhere in that range. So yeah, like a third-ish. I don't know. It's hard to tell as I made this joke, but I think it is a little bit true. Iowa State does have an affinity for wearing black. So I was next to some Iowa State fans. They were all wearing black. So it is a little bit hard to tell how many Iowa State fans were there.
And the bus was adorned in black again.
So I'm not. It is funny, but it is also a serious thing that happened. So.
It was a great. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
What if Iowa State fans had not showed up? What would the attendance have been? I'm just
eight or nine thousand.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
I'm amazed. I mean, 13,000, 2,500 empty seats, evidently, for the number three team in the country on your home court against your biggest in-state rival, the biggest rival on the schedule. Why? And earlier today, I had a post on social media that, you know, all kinds of people were responding to it, from, you know, the game day atmosphere to the style of play that Iowa has to times and TV options. Cost didn't seem to be a factor, but I can't put my finger on one thing, but this is I mean, 7 of 10 games last year, 7 of 10 Big Ten games didn't draw over 10,000 people in Carver Hawkeye Arena. I mean, you can sell out in football by and large. Wrestling is sold out. Women's basketball is sold out. What gives on Iowa men's basketball?
It is a mindset still. It is a mindset that whether you like to hear it or not, some people still go back to Steve Alford and the Pierre Pierce situation, and which is hilarious because these kids weren't born that are playing right now when Pierre Pierce was playing for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
But fans were.
What's that?
Fans were.
And they will. Some will never forget or forgive. The Licklider years did not help. Kind of the remnants from the Alford years on some of the things that went on then have not helped. Bad starting times, we know that. Awkward starting times, awkward days of the week. Just the way things are going with kids' sports. A lot of people busier now. But, hey, they show up at Hilton Coliseum. They show up at the State Farm Arena in Champaign, Illinois. Students now with the new configuration of Carver Hawkeye are way off the floor now, Isaac. They're up behind the band now, and there were students there last night.
It was full yesterday. I do want to say that. The students, they came out. It was all black there. So yesterday can't be pinned on the students. I'll say that much.
No. Now, did they get in free?
I didn't see anything. I think they were all for sale.
Okay.
So I didn't see anyone.
I was waiting for the Illinois. I was waiting for the Orange Crush thing to happen. We looked up there and go, hey, there are students there. And they look like they're wearing the same. They're not going to pull an Illinois here and just take their top shirt off and have red underneath. And it's all Iowa State people.
I do. I also think that women's basketball being sold out has really, I won't say hurt attendance, but it's a lot of basketball.
It has.
It's a lot of basketball to take in. So some people have tended to or have bought season tickets for women's basketball that maybe would have opted for men's basketball. And they've chosen the women's team over the men's team at this point just because it's expensive to be both.
Do you think it's the same fan, though? Are women's and men's fans one and the same?
No, I think there was a base of women's fans and a base of men's fans, and then you had the melting pot of everyone else. The melting pot has now gone over to the women's side.
I would say the more casual fan that would like to sort of see more success, I guess, is the nicest way of putting it. Again, that, I mean, I don't want to say that Iowa men haven't had any success. They obviously have. But recently, the women have had more success. And that's, you can't even argue that. So I think the fans that maybe are a little bit more fair weather, a little bit more casual, have opted to see the women over the men.
I would agree.
That's a good point. I mean, I've racked my brain about it. I haven't lost any sleep over it, but it is an issue at the University of Iowa. I mean, it can't be for lack of star power. Iowa's had the Luca Garzas and the Murrays and Bohannons and Utoffs and whatnot. Fran McCaffrey has had one losing season in the Big Ten in his tenure, but has never finished better than third and never, you know, advanced past the Sweet 16. I think there's a pretty good chunk of Iowa fans that say, you know, that's mediocre in our mind. And are they entertained at Carver-Hawkeye Arena? I don't know. I haven't been to a game for a while. You were there, Scott.
Panda was amazing. Isaac Red Panda is the best.
Yes, I love seeing her. She's awesome. I watched I was at both games. I was at the women's game and the men's game, and she was awesome both times. And still got a great reaction from the crowd both times.
Red Panda is amazing. Other than that, no. To me, I think the basketball game day experience stinks at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. The band was there last night. Band didn't get to play. They were just twiddling their thumbs. Yes, 4780, there are a few students in the lower bowl, but they took out, what would you say, three-quarters of that area,
yes, yeah.
Isaac? There are just a smattering of students down toward the floor now. That's it because of the redo from the wrestling room.
And there's just such a big gap between the floor on those ends. There's such a big gap between the floor and the stands. I really feel like it just feels obvious that you can add some more seats in there and make it add some closer seats, and those might sell out, or not necessarily sell out, but you can get some more revenue. You can get some more interest because you can say, oh, they're floor seats, but I'm not, that's up to Beth to do. It's not my decision.
Yeah. Mediocre results, says 6856 from Fran's teams. And there have been great players, as you mentioned, Mark, player of the year, folks. I really think that it's now turned into a mindset more than anything. So, well, we got basketball tickets. We're not going to go. We'll go to the Iowa State game maybe if it's in Iowa City. If there's a Saturday, maybe we'll go. And then two-thirds of the Big Ten games, and we'll call it a year.
Look at the women's game. It started at 8 o'clock, not an optimal starting time, and it was sold out. We knew it was going to be sold out all year long. Last night, 6:30, pretty optimal starting time for a Thursday. You were probably home by 9:30, Scott. Well, you might have stopped a couple places. I don't know.
Did not. I was home by 9:30, about 9:30.
Yeah.
Last night. Tourney success will bring out the fans, put the students on the floor, says 6516. Well, that has been suggested many, 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 many times over many, 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 many years at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And unless, like you said, Isaac, unless Beth Getz makes some sort of crazy decision to put students down below like every other Big Ten arena and kick out people that have been there for, you know, eons, it's not going to happen.
I think if the fans...
I'm not going to blame it on the students. So as Isaac pointed out, and you know, Scott, they were there last night. I think it's the adults.
I mean, if the students continue to show out like they did last night, I think you'd be a lot more inclined to do that because you can just say, well, you guys aren't showing up to your seats there, so we're going to give the students who have actually sort of rewarded and supported the program the benefit. Now, I'm not going to pretend that the students show up. That's every game. I'm not going to say they fill those seats every game, but if they do show up like they did last night, then I think it's more than fair for Beth Getz to make that move.
And yeah. you had these... You knew it was a big game because of the people that showed up. You had, of course, the majority. Well, I'm not going to say majority. You had the percentage that no matter what is happening, the under four media timeout, there is a mass exodus up the stairwells at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Happened last night like clockwork in a tie game with number three Iowa State with under four to play. 319-366-1600. A lot of people are saying women have gone to the had success. People want success. And until the Iowa men have a string of successes, I think people are going to go follow Jan Jensen and the women. Now, for non-conference games, and I think Jamie Pollard has done a really good job, Iowa State will play Sunday games. They're doing it the next two Sundays. They've done it two other Sundays in the non-conference, where they'll have the men's game first, women's game second, or the women's game earlier in the day, the men's game later in the day. And on a Sunday. Now, you have to, it takes two to tango to do that. It takes a lot of things to happen. It's a different television contract with the Big Ten. Keep that in mind. There are a lot of factors that go into it.
Yeah, and that's why it's so hard to put your finger on one thing among the many reasons we've talked about and among the reasons that folks are pointing to on our text line. We've got a Steve Alford / Pierre Pierce era, and they stopped going then. And the women's being very attractive in terms of entertainment value the last few years, and maybe that has taken a chunk out of people's budgets. It's just hard to pinpoint one reason.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Ann says, yes, for the women's game, the student section was completely full, and there's almost never a high exodus. 54-55, real fans get tired of hearing, sit down or be quiet. We just won't go.
Did get one of those yesterday.
Did you get one?
I did get one.
You got to sit down and be quiet.
The lady in front of me said, said something to the effect of, why is everyone so loud and screaming? So,
because it's a game.
That's always been a problem at Carver. When I was covering the teams under Ravling and Davis, it was largely a reactionary crowd. It was, you know, so many fans think they're at an opera and they're going to sit in their seats the whole game and just watch TV. Listen, you know, that isn't true at other arenas. Fans, especially students, are standing the whole game. And there is a segment of fans at Iowa, maybe elsewhere as well, that don't appreciate you standing up and being, you know, reactionary to what's going on in the game or trying to urge the team on. They want to sit there and watch the game like it's an opera.
True. True.
I always say I'm having fun, so leave me alone pretty much. That's basically what I say. Like, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying myself. You can get over it.
Before we get to an Evil Sideways scoreboard update, there are some things here that just don't jive with me because I watch football games. I watch people park a mile away and go. Prices are a lot higher than football. They aren't bad in basketball. So it's just a choice. It is a choice. And if the Iowa basketball team, whether it's under Fran McCaffrey or somebody else in the near future, starts winning, people are going to come back. I think that's the bottom line. Bottomest line of all, Iowa State, dang good. Really, really good. All right, we need to get to a Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time, brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They are open at 4 o'clock. I do not advise sitting outside on the port. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, Mark, what do we got?
Iowa has a new quarterback, Scott. He is Hank Brown. He is committed to Iowa from Auburn. He was at the game last night with Addison Ostringa, the tight end. Brown started the season as the starting quarterback at Auburn, lost his job when he threw three interceptions in the first half against Arkansas. 6'4", 210, he will have 3 years of eligibility. Also in football, two All-America teams are out, two that count towards consensus All-America status. The Walter Camp All-America team, the oldest. On the first team, Jay Higgins, the linebacker from Iowa, and running back Caleb Johnson. And the American Football Coaches Association All-America team, Higgins and long snapper Luke Elkin, first team. Caleb Johnson, second team. Continuing with college football, Keegan Johnson, the former Iowa Hawkeye, is in the portal once again after 2 years at Kansas State. He caught 29 passes last year for Kansas State with one touchdown. Right now, over 1,500 players in the portal. 30% of them are seeking their third or fourth year school. Finally, in baseball, reliever Devin Williams, and I'm sure Spencer Wagon will have a little bit more on this on his show, the reliever from Milwaukee going to the Yankees in exchange for starter Nestor Cortez. And the Cubs have acquired outfielder and three-time All-Star Kyle Tucker from Houston. The Cubs gave up three players in that trade.
Yeah, Iowa gets a quarterback. The Cub trade, interesting. Kyle Tucker is going to be a free agent after this year. Tells me the Cubs think they can win the Central, A, next year, and B, I think that the Astros redo may be starting. With Kyle Tucker going, Bregman is also a free agent. I believe a free agent. He has not signed with anyone yet or with Houston, but I think we may have seen the last of the so-called dynasty in Houston with the Astros. Cubs gave up three pretty good players to get Kyle Tucker. So that's going to be a very interesting trade to follow right there. Mentioned that Iowa State will be in action again on Sunday, both the men and the women, and we will have them both right here on 1600 ESPN. Thanks to Lisa Nolan at Lisa Nolan Realtor. She is the Cardinal sponsor for the Cyclone football and men's and women's basketball teams right here on 1600 ESPN. And Nate Heisey, last time I saw him, he played at UNI, and he must have spent 7 months in a weight room. He is absolutely just rock solid and can still stroke it. That's a good, good basketball team, Mark. We're going to take a break, come back. We will get the panel together for this week's edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. So stay with us. More to come after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And clouds will continue to build in as we head through the afternoon. Temperatures will be in the low 20s. It will be breezy. And then as we head into tonight, ice storm warnings go into effect. Freezing rain will start to move in as we head toward midnight. And it will lead to icy conditions persisting through the first half of the day on Saturday. Additionally, gusty winds could lead to power line and tree damage. And conditions will gradually improve as we head through the afternoon. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Time now for the Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield Health Coverage Report. When you enroll in a Wellmark individual or family health plan, you get an HMO network that includes over 32,000 providers. Plus, you get support from a company that's been serving Iowans for 85 years. Now, those are some impressive numbers, and that's health coverage you can feel confident in. Find the right plan for you at wellmark.com/covered. Enrollment ends January 15th.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star. And a reminder to stop on by. They got some great everyday deals. And among those going on right now, they have their holiday extravaganza going on. They've got great deals each and every day throughout the month of December leading up to Christmas Day. So stop on by, get all the full details on that. And while you're there, buy a 5-pound bag of russet potatoes. They're just 99 cents a pound. They are a staple for everything you need for all of your holiday baking. And also, Nature's Touch Milk, 1%, 2% skim, all on sale, 1 gallon, $2.99. Limit 4. Kitchen Cravings Hard Cook Eggs, 2 packages for 99 cents, limit 4. And the Quickery Dinner Rolls, 12 count, 99 cents, limit 2. And use your Quick Rewards app and sign up when you go to your neighborhood Quick Star.
In Iowa, farming isn't just a profession, it's a purpose. You can feel it in our 29.9 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 72,000 Iowans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $159.5 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose too, to help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose, paid for by Bayer.
CPOA Jewelers holiday sale is on.
We're Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
CPOA Jewelers has great savings all month long.
Spend $500 to $1,500 and receive diamond studs or a $100 Nelson's Meat Market gift card.
Spend $1,500 to $3,499 and receive 1 carat lab-grown studs or your choice of G-Shock watch. Spend $3,500 or more and receive 2 carat lab-grown diamond studs or 1 carat lab-grown tennis bracelet.
Save at Siepke Hoyt Jewelers,
corner of Collins Road and First Ave,
where Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Back with you at 3:41 on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here at 1600 ESPN. Army-Navy coming up tomorrow. We're going to pick that game and others on the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. After we make our picks, we will ask our listeners, if you have not been a contestant over the last 4 weeks, please give us a call at 319-366-1600. Not right now. Don't do it right now. And you can hitch your wagon up to one of the prognosticators, and if they have the best week, you get a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. Seems simple.
Seems simple.
Seems simple.
Seems.
All right. Ice storm warning, by the way, in effect starting at midnight tonight through 3 o'clock tomorrow. If you don't need to go anywhere and it's bad, don't go anywhere. Best advice we can give to you. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Hi, guys. I'm okay. A little cold, but I'm okay.
We'll be all right. We'll be all right. We've been through it before. All right,
not
Mark.
Not our first rodeo.
Nope, not our first rodeo. Mark, I'm going to throw it to you, and away we go for this week's edition.
Yeah, because of a lull in the bowl season starting up again. We've got a mixture of professional and college games this week, and we're going to start out with a series of NFL games. Scott was our winner last week, and Scott will lead off. And the first game is the Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers, and the Panthers favored by 2.5, Scott.
Yeah. Hey, if the Carolina Panthers play like they did against the Kansas City Chiefs a couple of weeks ago, they're going to win this game. But some sneaking suspicious feeling in the back of my mind says that this is going to be a game where the Cowboys will somehow sneak up, win it big, and people will then go, "Oh, Cowboys have a shot to get into the playoffs." I'll take those 2.5 points and reluctantly go with the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going to take the home team here. Bryce Young may have a game, may not. Carolina's been blown out, and then that game at Kansas City. You can't figure out the NFL, and I'm the last one to do so, but I'll go ahead and take Carolina at home. Dave.
This marks the first time since 2022 the Carolina Panthers are favored in a win, if are favored to win a football game in the NFL. Bryce Young is playing good football right now. Carolina would be on a five-game winning streak if they hadn't had some bad luck on a couple of football plays. Their defense has had a lot of injuries this year, but are playing much better over the last month. The Panthers are the better team right now. The Cowboys are not a good team. Give me the home team to win and cover.
Don't put me on Jerry Island. Don't put me on Jerry Island.
I'm not going to do that to you, Scott. The Cowboys, the facts are the Cowboys are 4-2 away from home and just 1-6 at Jerry World this season. I'm going to ride with the Cowboys here and making an even split, but I will say I am looking forward to Stephen A. Smith's reaction video if the Cowboys do end up losing this game. That is the highlight. I'm not a Cowboy fan in the slightest, so his videos after they lose, pure gold.
Not better than Red Panda, though.
No.
Well, all you need to know, folks, the two guys leading the panel, I picked Dallas. So. game two, and I'll kick things off. Really good game this weekend. The Steelers at the Eagles, and Philadelphia favored by 4.5. And Philadelphia has played awfully well all season long, as have the Steelers. A couple of hiccups along the way, but the Steelers have won 7 of 8. Somehow they lost to Cleveland, but avenged that. Steelers have the number 4 rushing defense in the NFL. And I like that to combat Barkley. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh in the points here. Dave.
Philadelphia is riding a 9-game winning streak. Sometimes the Eagles look like the best team in the NFL. At other times, they look like they're dealing with problems within the team. The Eagles have scored a league-low 17 points in the first quarter. If they fall behind early, they will not be able to come back without an explosive passing game. This looks like a field goal game to me, so give me more than 3, and I'll take the points and the Steelers, especially when you consider the coaching matchup with Mike Tomlin and Nick Sirianni.
All right, Spencer.
Yeah, this has been an interesting week for the Philly camp with all the comments about relationships and who is mad at who, and then those comments are walked back. I'm just curious where the Eagles' mindset is, and can they put that stuff aside? I think the Steelers' defense is the key, like you said, Mark. I'm not sure they're – you can really stop Saquon Barkley, but you could try to slow him down. And I think the Steelers will try to do that. So give me the Steelers and the points.
Scott.
No team in the NFL has more fun and deals with drama better than the Philadelphia Eagles. And not only that, but I'm just hoping that Philadelphia can help out my Kansas City Chiefs by beating Pittsburgh, because Lord knows on the third game in 11 days, the Chiefs aren't winning in Pittsburgh. So help me out, Philadelphia. I'm taking the Eagles. I'm going on Eagle Island here.
All right. Game three, and Dave is leading off. It's the Packers at the Seahawks, Dave. Green Bay favored by 2.5.
Sunday football this week could be a playoff preview for the wild card weekend. However, Seattle has to hang on in the NFL West. Green Bay looks like a lock for the wild card spot because of winning the NFC North is out of reach. The Seahawks are starting to look like the team that began the season 3-0. Give me the home team and the points to cover here and win their 5th straight game.
Spencer.
Boy, I hate games like this.
I'm just happy the Chiefs aren't on this pick'em today.
I feel like the Packers are due for a road clunker here. They've been really good outside the division. NFC North teams are something like 28-3 when they're not playing teams in the division. Green Bay has not been good against the Vikings and the Lions. They did have the win over the Bears just by the fingertip there. I'm going to take a chance on the Packers to win by 3 to 4 points, but I have zero confidence in that. But give me the Packers. Why not?
Scott.
NFC North's a lot better than the NFC West. And Josh Jacobs is really good. I'm going to go with Green Bay and throw those 2.5 points.
Well, once again, the two leaders are picking Green Bay and I'm going to join Dave and taking Seattle. As he mentioned, Seattle's won 4 in a row at home, getting points. That adds up to Seattle for me. Game 4, game of the day, really. Spencer, you're leading off. The Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions get together. Detroit favored at home by 1.5.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Of course, I get stuck with the toughest game on the maybe the second toughest with what's coming up next here on the picks. But the Bills, boy, I could see this being a bounce back spot. I think they're playing really well on offense. The defense got gashed last week against the Rams, but I just can't pick against the Lions at home. I think even with the defensive issues that they have, injuries more specifically, I still think they're the best team in this scenario at home. So I'm going to take a chance on the home team to win this one against Buffalo.
All right, Scott.
Sea Eagle Steelers. Please help me out, Detroit. Even more. I think the Lion running attack is going to keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. And I like Detroit at home. I'm gonna roll with the NFC North, continuing to roll with the NFC North, and take Dan Campbell and the Lions.
Folks, there's a reason I'm bringing up the rear in these picks. I will take Buffalo with the league MVP at the helm. Give me the Bills, +1.5. Dave.
This could be the best game of the day. Detroit has been letting teams stick around way too much lately. And Dan Campbell has been a little too aggressive on fourth down. This might be one of those games that might come back to bite him. Give me Josh Allen and the Bills with all those points to cover. Oh, by the way, Allen's record indoors, 9-3-1.
I like it, Dave.
Who was the tie against?
All right, Game 5, Scott, you're back on the leadoff position. We cannot pick the best bowl game until we pick the worst, and that is tomorrow. The Salute to Veterans Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. The matchup is South Alabama and Western Michigan. South Alabama favored by 8.5.
Who are two teams that have never been in my kitchen? Old Cheers reference, by the way. You're giving me, 8.5 points. I tell you what, Maction has come through in the bowl games in the last couple of years. I'll take those 8.5 points. I will stick with the Western Michigan Bronx in this one.
Here we go again. Because of geography and a dynamic wide receiver named James Pritchett, he's only 5'8", but he's plays very big. I'll take South Alabama to cover here. Dave.
Lots of key players may be missing for this game. The weather for this game has temperatures around 57 degrees. With this game being played in the heart of Dixie, South Alabama should be able to make things happen against a weak Western Michigan defense that gives up over 31 points a game. Give me the Jags to win and cover.
Spencer.
I have no idea. I can't. I know I can't pass.
Pass.
I feel like 8.5 is too much.
Isaac, who do you like? Help Spencer out.
Let's just pull Z102.9. Bring him in here. Those girls in the afternoon. No. I feel like 8.5 points is too much for a random bowl game like this. So give me the Broncos to cover over South Alabama.
Well, I respect you, Spencer. 6-6 teams. What more could you say? Yeah. All right. Last game and the tiebreaker. It's Army-Navy. Army favored by 6.5. This game in Landover, Maryland, the home of the Washington Commanders. I lead off, and heart overhead. I will always pick Navy in this game, and give me the 6.5. And the tiebreaker is total offensive yards by Army quarterback Bryson Daly. Phenomenal player, by the way. I'm going to set the bar at 200. Dave.
Army has gone 6-3-1 against the spread in the last 10 games between these two. There have been six unders in the last eight meetings. Both teams are much improved, but one common opponent shows why Army may be the best side. Navy was shut out by then number 25 Tulane, 35-0. Army beat the Green Wave last weekend, 35-14. Give me the Black Knights to win and cover. Bryson Daly, total 193.
All right, Spencer.
I think Navy's going to have trouble stopping the rushing attack from Army. They got gashed by Notre Dame, gashed by Tulane. I think Army is the better team, motivated with that conference championship. So I think they win this one by more than 6.5. So I'll go with Army. You took my answer, Mark, on the tiebreaker. So let's go 190. Set the bar even lower.
All right, Scott.
Much like you, Mark, my father, a Army veteran, Fort Carson, Colorado, salute. And I will always go with the Black Knights of the Hudson and the Army. Now, do I want to go over or do I want to be on the under? I'll go, since I don't want to be that guy, I'll go 202. Instead of 201. I will not Tyler Ryder you.
You are that guy.
All right. Oh, the picks are in. We need four contestants right now at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. If you have been a contestant over the last 4 weeks, please do not call in. Otherwise, you are eligible. And if you hit your wagon up to the correct prognosticator, you'll get a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. Dave, be safe. Have a good weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
All right. Spencer, what's coming up?
More Cy-Hawk reaction. We'll talk about the new quarterback for the Hawkeyes. Got some NFL talk. Going to try to squeeze in some baseball, too. Two big trades in the National League Central today.
Including your Brewers.
Yep.
All right. Mark, have a good weekend. We'll reconvene on Monday.
Sounds great, guys. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Siegel's holiday savings start now. Our entire selection of designer, vintage, estate jewelry, bridal rings, watches, gold, and sterling.